This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The band Invisible had a mission from the start to push the limits of rock music. Early performances included video footage, lots of percussion, and whimsical sounds achieved by playing children's toys on stage. But the founding members wanted to go further, and eventually they began creating their own instruments. Two of those creations, the Selectric Piano and Elsewhere's Roof, are featured in their new performance piece called The New Obsolete. The Selectric Piano is a 1970s-era typewriter that's been electronically connected to the keys of a piano. So when you type a word on it, it sounds like this. Elsewhere's Roof is also experimental. It uses valves to drip water onto a pad to create a tune. And here to tell us more about these instruments than the new obsolete is Invisible co-founder Mark Dixon. Mark, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And another member of Invisible Ensemble is with us, Jody Staley. Welcome to you. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Mark, tell us more about what you were going for back in, I think, 2006 when you put this together.
Yeah. It was started by a group that was in a few different bands and any band has its sort of set of limitations, and we wanted to get together and do something where kind of the answer was always yes, let's try it. So
what were you playing at the time?
We were playing a much more traditional set of instruments in the rock and roll genre. You know, I played bass guitar, generally some percussion. There was some hacked or rigged electronic stuff, but it would be a pretty recognizable set.
Is it pushing for its own sake? It's like, look, I'm getting tired of this. Or could you hear something? Was there something you were going for?
Well, yeah, I suppose we wanted to hear different things. We wanted to incorporate more discovery and more question asking. And some of those questions said, you know, in order to find the answer, we're going to have to make some stuff.
And one of the things you made was the Selectric Piano. Which turns a typewriter essentially into a piano. And Jody, you're the typist originally, right?
Yes.
And then you learn to play this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that like? Are you typing words that then become the sound, or just sort of translating?
I am translating. Musically, I'm translating. The words are written, and actually the music's written around the words that are created before they ever start making the music.
So you actually use words first.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can create, like the W is a G, and so anytime I want a G, I just hit a W. No, no, no. You're actually going to write a word and make music happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but you used to type.
And yes,
you still
I do type.
So you're a typist, and you were roommates, right?
Yes.
To get together. So so then did you have to become a musician? Did it change for you?
I did. I think I discovered that I am a musician somewhere in there, where I didn't think that I had that potential to begin with. And Mark approached me about this machine and said, if I make this, will you play it? Because he heard me typing at home, and he heard rhythm in there. And that gave him the inspiration. So when he approached me and said, will you do this if I make this, I didn't believe he could. Make it. It was just so out there.
So it's kind of easy to say yes when you figure you're going to do it anyway.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly. What.
But then but is it just typing? I mean, if you can, is it typing like you type? Because if you're trying to be fast when you type, right?
So and yes, you are trying to be fast. You're trying to turn the work around as quick as possible.
And that's not what music is.
Mm-mm, not at all.
You also have a couple of innovations on this thing. Unlike a standard typewriter, this has a sustain panel.
Yes.
Pedal, for instance.
Mm-hmm. It does.
You had to learn to work that thing, huh?
I did. It was a lot of fun.
And then, Mark, what about the inspiration for this? I mean, this is one of those old Selectric typewriters, which were actually new in 1970s, but
that's right.
But they've since become old. What was the inspiration for that?
Well, the Selectric is an interesting device because unlike typewriters before it, it takes the input, you know, you type a letter and it converts that into a binary code, and it's a mechanical binary code, but it's there are six bars inside the works of the machine, and they form a number, you know, of ones and zeros, and that's what tells the type ball which axis to turn to and which angle to pitch to. And so it becomes a lot easier to hack into that to get information out of it than other typewriters. And it happens to be that the Selectric also types 88.
So there was it types?
It types 88 characters, exactly.
Oh, that is perfect. I hadn't thought of that. But it's this bridge technology, the fact that the mechanical and the digital were sort of married in that machine.
Yes, exactly.
That kind of makes it perfect for what this kind of sound is. I tell you what, why don't we listen to a sample of this from the new Obsolete, and then Jody, maybe after we listen, you can tell us what you've typed. There we have a little bit of New is Magic from the new Obsolete from Invisible. Jody Staley played that on her Selectric piano. So what were you typing?
It says, New is Magic. Now you can have it all. All in one, one for all. Never need another. You, yours, us, other.
So you start with a poem. A song.
Basically. Yeah.
And then is this the starting point for the composition for you? Did it begin with the words?
Yeah. The show began with Bart Trotman and myself sitting in a room really generating text. And we wrote poems, basically. And about three times the amount of text that finally was involved in the show. And then that stuff was subjected to the Selectric piano, and then we saw what kind of worked, and then made tweaks in terms of how we build music around that, and also in terms of what we select and what we don't.
Now, do you ever go back and edit the words to make them sound better on the piano?
Well, you can work with phrasing to change how things sound, and you can work with sustain, and you can also take you can take something and make it capital instead of lowercase.
I noticed that. Some are all caps, some are uppercase, and some are lowercase. So that makes a difference.
It does, yeah.
And you have – do you then – is there any input on your part, Jody? You say, no, it's not like that. Try it this way.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, when we actually – once they're done writing and I come in and play what they've written, I do.
Yeah, you kind of mess with it a little bit.
I do.
Huh?
We mess with it and then – figure out what sounds best, change words sometimes a little bit, or even the structure of the song. So
how about the composition then? What happens next? How do you build the sound around that?
Well, you know, the Selectric piano only produces one note at a time. So, you know, we can build chords around that, and we can make song structure around that. So choices about whether it's a staccato part or whether there's sustain or, you know.
We have another instrument in this called Elsewhere's Roof. First of all, where does that name come from?
Bart and I did a residency at Elsewhere, the artists collaborative
in Greensboro.
In Greensboro,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. And their building is old, you know, and we were on the top floor one day just sweating and nerve-wracking away trying to make a sewing machine, an old treadle sewing machine, into a drum machine. And then it was a rainstorm and the roof starts leaking, and all of a sudden this percussion kind of symphony happens with buckets all around the floor, and each one has a different sound to it. And that was the inspiration, and for the performance that culminated that residency, we hoisted blocks of ice up to the ceiling under
to keep
under
it wet.
Hot lights. And
but then now you've created an instrument, a little more control.
That's
so
right.
Talk about Elsewhere's Roof, the instrument.
Yeah, Elsewhere's Roof is sort of the portable version. It's a 10-foot-tall tower, and it has a dune buggy gas tank that holds the water, and that water is distributed into five different burettes, which are a scientific labware piece of hardware. And by opening and closing the valves, I can control the tempo of each of five drips.
And then where do they – what's the surface?
Well, they fall into mason jars that are uplit. And
well, that's going to change the pitch as the composition goes on, right?
Well, it would. And eventually we want to use direct mics to directly pick up. But actually, Elsewhere's Roof, unlike its predecessors, the blocks of ice and the actual rainstorm, uses water to trigger electronics.
Uh-huh.
So when the drip passes through a switch, it sends a signal to a mechanical instrument to do its thing.
But and are they pitched then, each of these pipettes, or?
Well, you vary the how fast each one goes.
So you're only looking for percussion. You don't need a pitch.
Yeah. However, I can send with switches that same thing that would control a drum to a keyboard finger, much
uh-huh.
like Jody's.
And then you can change the pitch. Well, let's get a sample of Elsewhere's Roof from the new Obsolete. Wet Technology. Now, is that the piece itself, or do you build around that? Am I listening to just the solo, or
it does build from there?
Yeah.
But I like to start off with one drip and help people get into the pattern of that, and then you add another. And of course, unlike any drum machine or percussion ensemble, that second drip will be totally unrelated to the first, and so they cycle and one passes another. And it becomes very complex as you add a third and a fourth. But strangely, though all of those are completely off grid with one another, almost inevitably you can tap your toe to – you can sort of invent a one in your mind and say, oh, here's how this flows.
So is each performance unique and different from the others, even though this is a composition? It's called The New Obsolete.
Yeah. Well, I would say 80% of The New Obsolete is pretty straightforwardly written, and we're following the score. The parts that involve the new Elsewhere's Roof are improvised, though I know what sort of improvisation mm-hmm. I'll be doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what about the impetus for The New Obsolete? What's behind that? What is The New Obsolete?
Well, Invisible has always worked with old junk, and part of that is just practical. You know, that's what's available to us. We don't have $1 million to spend. That's always been a theme, sort of, and we decided to go straight for that theme of, what are these things that are cast off, and why isn't the IBM Selectric on every desk anymore? And what is that, what's the cultural significance of that? And even to an extent, how do we compare ourselves to the IBM Selectric? The flesh, the body is questioned, with regards to technology.
In that composition.
Yeah.
Jody, have you learned to play the piano?
No.
Do you want to?
No, actually, I don't. My daughter plays, and uh-huh. she plays amazingly well. It's enough.
And you haven't taught her to play this electric?
No, but she's planning on it. Actually, she told me the other day.
Oh, great. Are these compositions, could you transfer them? Have you tried to conventional musical instruments? Would it make sense?
I suppose you could have, say, a pianist sitting there playing. In some cases, though, a lot of the stuff that Jody does on the Selectric piano would be very hard for two hands, because J and L might be next to each other in a word, they could be very far away from each other on the keyboard.
Ah.
So, and I think that there's a visual component. When I hear the recordings, I'm like, oh, that's what it sounds like. Because when you're at an invisible performance, or when you're performing, It's very multimedia. You're looking at things working, and you're hearing the sounds, and you're seeing video content. So it all belongs together.
And the text itself has references to obsolescence.
Exactly.
You're Tell us about that.
Well, the text is playing with that idea. We don't have a party line or a position, but we're exploring and asking questions.
But there's a medical text that's involved in this, is there not, from a German anatomist?
That's right. Robert Wiedersheim, in the late 1800s, he was following, you know, the sort of the revolution that Darwin kind of kicked off, and saying, well, lots of parts of the human body are actually useless or being phased out. And he famously produced this list of 80 organs or tissues that he had targeted as he named as obsolete or vestigial. And of course, inevitably, many of those are back on the list of keepers for our body. So it's
though in politics, the human brain seems to be on the way out. Just an observation from this chair. And how does that text make its way into your piece?
Well, the first set of compositions for the show is called Wiedersheim's List, and we reference Wiedersheim's List with some video, and then we type the first alphabetically. We type the first organs that Wiedersheim had on the chopping block, and then we work in sort of a theme and variations from that. So we talk about junk DNA, which is a similar concept, and we actually borrow a sequence, ATGC sequence, and see how that sounds, and we version that through, you know, endangered species, which, you know, the question is, well, how many species can we really kill off before we essentially ruin the system? And it seems like we can.
I'll have an answer for you in about 2 years. Just stay tuned.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Well, let me ask you this, though. What's the inspiration? Does it tend to be a sound? Does it tend to be a word or a text? Or is it a concept, an idea like obsolescence? What comes first?
I think we use the concepts like we use our invented tools. We use them as a point to start with, but we keep our ears open and we listen, and we let that guide the process, because what we're not as a group up to is we don't tend to create extremely hard to listen to experimental music. We consider ourselves experimental because that's how our process works. But when you listen to the show, you're hearing music. It's just generated in a very odd way.
Yeah, there certainly are melodies and again, rhythms that you will tap your toe to. But, and you're also a sculptor. How does sculpture play a part in your performances?
Well, I started off as a sculptor. I was always making things as a kid, and my art education is in sculpture. But I also was in a band, and I found that I loved the interaction in a rock and roll context, and comparing that to making a sculpture, you know, somebody could drop to their knees and their whole life be changed, and they're weeping in front of my sculpture, and I wouldn't know that had happened. So this loop, this feedback loop, really attracted me to sound and performance, and so I just tried to put those. This is my synthesis between those two.
That synthesis, the latest, is called The New Obsolete. Mark Dixon and Jody Staley, thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
They are members of the experimental ensemble Invisible. They're going to be performing their show, The New Obsolete, for the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh tomorrow night, performance at 5:30. They can also be seen at CAM, the Contemporary Art Museum in Raleigh, April 6th, and they're part of the Born Digital exhibition, so you can find out more about all of their locations and their performances at soundsinvisible.com. Coming up, novelist Margot Livesey joins us, and we will debut an all-new episode of the Jade City Pharaoh just ahead on The State of Things. Stay with us.